Hello again, this is LaRue Atkinson, One-on-One School of Ministry. We're in our fourth teaching on the spiritual constitution, and this particular teaching is one of my favorite. I was taught this directly from the Holy Spirit. I was a person that really struggled in writing the vision of God down. I had a lot of visions, I had a lot of encounters, I had a lot of prophecies, I had a lot of dreams. God had spoken to me over the years, but I never really captured it all together. And I don't know why I didn't. I just never really knew how. I just didn't understand the importance of it. And in that initial visitation of the Holy Spirit, that's the very first thing He was stressing to me. If God stresses anything, I felt like this is important. Listen, verily, verily kind of thing. He said, I want to teach you how to write the vision. And the very first thing He told me, He goes, I want you to map your spirit. And I'm going to call to remembrance everything I spoke to you over the years. And I want you to put all that together. And one of the very first things He spoke to me, He says, you need to establish the will of God in your heart by the word of God from the Bible. Everything God said in your heart can be confirmed in the word. Now today, we're going to, for practical purposes and teaching purposes, we're going to go over a particular petition or constitution just for a simple request of wisdom. But it's not so simple because the Bible says in Proverbs says wisdom is the principal thing. And God has a lot He puts on places, a lot of emphasis on wisdom. And because of that, we're going to put a lot of emphasis on our request. In fact, I have one constitution dedicated completely to the request of wisdom because I thoroughly believe in my heart that everything God's ever going to accomplish in my life, the foundation of it is going to be the wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God. And I want to understand how God does things. And because of that, I want to thoroughly have the wisdom of God planted in me. Amen? So one of the first things the Lord showed me in forming a petition or a constitution, He said, establish God's will. Now, it's going to be easy because God's will and wisdom has already been established in the Word. But if God has spoken to you concerning going to the nations of the earth, that's very easy to find scripture. If God has spoken to you concerning a prophetic ministry, a pastoring ministry, if God has spoken to you about being a businessman that's going to fund the harvests, there's so many scriptural examples. In fact, if you look on the page there that you're downloading from, I've added three or four more constitutions there just for your benefit. And so you just partake of those and freely use them however you see fit. And you might want to take a little bit out of those and add your own, but they're good templates for you. Amen. All right. So let's look. The number one step there, if you're looking at your spiritual notes there, spiritual constitution on the fourth part, the number one step in forming a petition, determine and establish God's will in writing. Now, we talked about that the entire last teaching there. So we understand that we need to determine God's will and we need to write it down. So the very first thing is find what God says. Now, as for wisdom, we're going to determine God's will concerning the wisdom of God. Amen. And we're going to provide Old Testament and New Testament examples of the will of God. So what I did, if you'll look there in that wisdom petition, and if you have not already downloaded that, go ahead and pause the camera for a minute. Download the petition because we're going to go through that and I'm going to show you how this was formed. All right, we're back. Now here's what we want to do. When God says for you to ask and to ask in faith, in fact, James 3:17, we talked about this in an earlier teaching. He said, let him ask of God if any of you lack wisdom. That should just be about all of us. Let him ask of God, nothing wavering. He said, let him ask in faith. And we talked about how do you ask in faith? What does that mean? I mean, how are you going to waver in the initial request of asking for wisdom? Are you going to waver between the S and the D? No, because your initial request goes far longer than that one time you asked God. No, it goes off into your future because you're going to be tested in what you asked for. And you cannot waver, my friend. You got to know the will of God. So the very first thing I did is I chose to provide Old Testament and New Testament examples. And who better than Solomon when you're thinking of the wisdom of God? When I think of wisdom, I think of Jesus, I think of Solomon. So I traced out all of Solomon's initial request there when he petitioned God for wisdom at Gibeon. He said, I don't know how to go in and go out before such a great people. Give me now, therefore, wisdom. And this touched the heart of God. You know, I want to touch God like that. I don't know what happened to Solomon in that dream, but it touched the heart of God and made him the greatest king before his fall the Old Testament had ever seen. I want that kind of wisdom. I want to touch God's heart like that. I want to be endowed with wisdom the way he gave it to Solomon. Look at 1 Kings 4 and 29, just a powerful verse. I won't read all these for time's sake, but I want to read this one. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of the children of the East Country. His wisdom grew that the kings and the queens of his day that were lost took notice that Jehovah God was with him. In fact, they came to hear of his wisdom from all the nations of the earth. Wow, he touched the heart of God. So we traced out the wisdom of Solomon. And then I brought it into the New Testament and I brought in the Apostle Paul and some of the requests that he had. And in fact, Paul admonished us to ask for wisdom. Look at Ephesians. These are very powerful prayers. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Hallelujah. Forever. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. We're to ask for wisdom. I'm laying that precedence down in written form. Because when I go to ask God, I'm bringing him Solomon's request. I'm bringing him Paul's request. And more than that, I'm bringing him the finished work of the cross. There's nothing's going to move God more than bringing him the finished work of the cross and respecting the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us. Amen. And that's a very powerful tool. After you've provided Old Testament and New Testament, another thing that you should really do is provide scriptural references. Find as many as you can. And I listed a whole page of scriptural references on wisdom. I'm just going to read you one here in the middle of the page. Proverbs 3, verse 13. I have a whole page of these. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. That's what we're asking God for. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. She is more precious than rubies and all the things thou canst desire, not to be compared to her, more precious than rubies. I guarantee you, if you put a Bible on the ground and a bowl of rubies, I guarantee you 99 out of 100 people will choose that bowl of rubies every time. But in that Bible, the Bible declares it's more precious. If you can find the wisdom of God, it's more precious than the rubies and the gold and the silver of the earth. Hallelujah forever. All the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days in her right hand, her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. Listen to that. Riches, honor, peace, pleasantness. Length of days. Tree of life. Happiness. All these scriptural references. See, I'm laying down. Before I ask God, I'm gonna put it all down there. Because I'm not going before his throne empty-handed. See how we're not being vague here? We're getting very detailed. Solomon asked for it, you answered it. Paul asked for it, you answered it. Wisdom said to seek her in Proverbs. See, we're not being vague. We're not being thoughtless about it. We're writing it down. We're not being foolish. We're not flippantly going, oh, God, I ask you for your wisdom. What are you going to do 3 months later? When trial after trial after trial, and you're desperately needing God's wisdom to pull you out. Instead, the frustration and the fear and the torment take over. No, you better know what you ask for, and you got to know that God's going to answer. Amen? And if you're doing this lying your calling, you've got to find where it is written. Jesus always answered the devil, it is written. What God said to you, it is written. Find it. Record it. Now, the next thing you should do with all that's in your heart is find the finished work. If you're a businessman, and you're called to do great things in the realm of business and steward finances for the kingdom of God, then you better know that you know that you know your foundation is in the finished work of the cross. You say, well, what is the finished work of the cross? He became poor that you, through his poverty, have been made rich. 2 Corinthians 9, the finished work of the cross. Substituted his poverty. Took your poverty. Substituted himself in your place. Know you not the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? That though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. That's a finished work. It's the foundation of everything you're going to do in the realm of stewardship. How about callings, offices, administrations? He ascended on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He stands, the Bible says, as the Alpha and the Omega. Before God ever asks you to begin something, he already has finished it. He inhabiteth eternity, the Bible says. He's inhabiting your past, your present, and your future. That's why God can call things to be not as though they were, because he stands at the end of your life and said, this is done. Now let's walk this out. You got to see it like God sees it, my friend. Now we're talking about wisdom, so let's look at the finished work of the cross here. Isaiah 53 and 7, powerful verse. He was brought, I kind of paraphrased it a little bit, as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb. He opened not his mouth in order for me to have the wisdom of God in every situation and circumstance. He was brought before the shearers, the Sanhedrin court. He opened not his mouth. Stood dumb before the shearers. Cost him his life. He could have gave instantaneous testimony from heaven of who he was. He could have read the mail of every one of those in the Sanhedrin court, but he chose to stand dumb for you and I, withheld the wisdom of God that you and I could have it available, every situation, every circumstance. That's the finished work of the cross. Respect that. Record it. Amen. This is scripture. 1 Corinthians 1 and 3. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who's made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, that we may instruct him. But you have the mind of Christ. I catalog that finished work. That is my foundation by which I function and operate. Now another thing we need to do is, if you've had any prophecies, if you've had any dreams, this is around the particular dream of your heart. If you've had any prophetic words, heavenly encounters, record those in a section. Record them, because that's what God has said to you. That word will not return void. Everything you're building is you're building an edifice around what God has said, because when you take this to the throne of God, you're bringing this request. You're saying, God, I wrote this and said, you spoke this to me. Here are the dreams. Here are the visions. Here is the encounters that I received. Here is the prophetic words. And now I've also brought Old Testament and New Testament precedents that you do this. As for this, you gave it to Solomon. You gave it to Paul. Jesus paid the price. I know that the wisdom of God is made available. Boy, God respects that kind of faith, that kind of effort to bring his word, because he's going to hasten his word to perform it. Amen. So you catalog all that down, because that's what you're going to continue. And there's a reason why we're going to do all this. But for today, we're just teaching you how to get this on the page. Amen. Now, after you've cataloged all that, I have a section in here called the throne of grace. Because eventually, once you have all this precedence established and what God has said, you're going to bring this to the throne of grace. It's a throne of grace. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace in your time of need. Why does he say a throne of grace? Because grace is unmerited, unearnable favor. My friends, we need the unmerited, unearnable favor of God to accomplish what he has called us to do. And here's what I wrote, and you'll see it there on the page. Father, in accordance with Hebrews 4:16, I come boldly unto the throne of grace with present witnesses. And we're going to talk about witnesses in a moment. To offer my petition, to offer my constitution before you. In accordance with Luke 9, I understand the three predominant phases. Right division, I understand the three predominant phases. Ask. How can you ask if you have nothing written? Seek, you shall find, knock, and the door shall be opened. We already talked about those phases. Furthermore, I understand the word of God not only instructs me to ask, but to ask in faith, nothing wavering. When you write this down, you're going to sign your name to it. You're going to have witnesses that are going to sign your name. It's been forever recorded in heaven. It's recorded in your heart. You've got it on the page, and you're going to be able to hold that when the enemy comes. You have something in front of you now. You have your destiny. You have your dream. You have a promise from God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And then I catalog a couple of scriptures there in the asking process. Now, once you have all this, we know we're to come to the throne of grace. We have the precedents established. We have scriptural references. We have exactly what God has said. We've already written that down. Now, my friend, we're going to actually make the request just like Solomon did. You know, before Solomon made that request, he offered 500 bullocks to the Lord, 500 sacrifices. Can't you and I make a sacrifice of writing the vision? Now, here is the actual request. And I, boy, when you start asking for God, this is not a time to be shy, my friend. This is a time to be bold. Remember, the throne of grace, ask everything. You're asking for your future. You're asking for your destiny. You're asking for things you cannot see. So do not be vague when you're asking. Don't be thoughtless and don't be foolish. Ask big. Ask big, my friend, because God's going to do it for you. If he did it for Solomon, he did it for Paul, and Jesus paid the price for you, you can have it. Ask. Look at some of the things I asked for. Father, I come before you this day in the name of Jesus. I ask for wisdom that rightly divides the word of God. Being a teacher, I want to know revelation knowledge. In leading and guiding my family. Wisdom in leading and guiding the church. Wisdom in my decision making. Wisdom that produces witty inventions. Wisdom in counseling. Wisdom that gives strength. Wisdom in financial and business decisions. I mean, I went on and on and on. There in Proverbs 8, it says, wisdom leads you in the paths of right decisions. They may cause you to inherit substance and fill your treasures. If you want to inherit substance in this life, you will have to be led in the paths of right decisions. Father, I ask for a full revelation of your wisdom that was given to Solomon. I want the wisdom that was given to him. In the book of, I ask for a full revelation of the mind of Christ. The Bible says we've been given the mind of Christ. I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ. I go on and on and on. You can see that on that page. Ask big. If you're in a business, you need to ask. Amen. Now, once you ask, and you have brought this before God and you recorded that, you need to welcome the Holy Spirit as your legal representative. He's going to stand with you through this entire process, my friend. He's the one that helped you record it. He's the one that helped you arrange it. He's the one that's there representing you before the Father. Welcome him into your petition. Welcome him into your constitution. Welcome him as your partner, as a co-laborer, as the paraclete, the lawyer, the helper, the comforter, the teacher. He's going to stand with you. Listen, my friend, once you ask, immediately you're going to be set on a course called seeking. Now, everything you ask for in the realm of the Spirit, you cannot find with your natural senses and with your natural mind. It's like being put in the middle of the Pacific Ocean with a lifetime supply of gasoline and food and said, find the island of Maui with no road map and no helper. What is our chances of ever finding that island? That's the same way with these doors live. You're going to have the Holy Spirit take you through a journey called seeking. He's going to do a lot in that journey. We're going to talk a lot about that journey in the coming lessons. But he's going to take you through the journey. You got to welcome him. Holy Spirit, I recognize and honor you as my advocate and legal representative within this petition. I thank you for being my comforter, who by definition is one that pleads another cause before a judge, a counsel for the defense. Holy Spirit, I ask in the name of Jesus, you will continually represent this petition before the throne room of God. And then I give scriptures that support that. Amen. Hallelujah forever. All right. Now, once you get to that place and you've welcomed the Holy Spirit, now let's review some of the phases. You've determined the will of God. You've found Old Testament, New Testament, even modern day examples of what you're asking God for. And then there, the third part, you find that foundation of the finished work of the cross. God respects the finished work. that particular petition, the fourth step, is catalog all the personal dreams and visions, encounters that you've received. The fifth step, include that formal approach. You're going to ask one time. You're going to take that formal approach to the throne room of grace. And then you're going to catalog what you've asked for. Step six. Step seven, formally welcome the Holy Spirit. All this is written. Step eight, the petition should include a prayer of thanksgiving. Listen to this scripture. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. We have to come with a thankful heart, not grudgingly, not murmuring, not complaining. No, my friend, we have to be full of thanksgiving. The kind of thanksgiving that knows that God's answered it before you asked. That kind of thanksgiving. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through it. In everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Everything give thanks. I will offer to thee, Psalms 116:17. The sacrifice I will offer to thee, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Thanksgiving, call upon the name of the Lord. Be of a thankful heart. We place that in there. Now, one of the things that I did, and I'm not sure that this is by commandment, but it's something I felt impressed in my heart by the Holy Spirit, is to bring witnesses into this. People that I'm accountable. Do this especially in the arena of your calling. People are going to walk with you. People are going to stand with you in the birth and development and facilitation of that vision in your life. Have them be in that process. And what I've done in the past is I brought three or four people together. You don't need a lot, my friend. And believe you me, I've had people actually stand with me in the initial request, so they're no longer with me any longer. So get people that are going to be with you, that have locked arms with you. Have communion. Come before God. Make it a formal thing. I mean, you're petitioning the throne. Get everybody's heart right. Take that request and bring it to the throne of grace. Bring it before God. Bring it there. Just remember, long after you've asked, it's going to sit at that throne. And remember Habakkuk, it will speak in its latter end. It's going to speak for you. Amen forever. So you get your petitions, and listen to these verses. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. One can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And after you've asked, sign your name, date it, put the time. Have those witnesses sign their name to it. Amen. Now you have your constitution. What are you going to do with it now? Well, we're going to teach you what to do with it over the next three or four sessions or so. I mean, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of it. We're going to teach you how to take your hope that's born from that initial seeding into your garden and how to bring it to faith all the way into substance. We're going to teach you how to feed that destiny. We're going to teach you how to wrap it around your senses. We're going to teach you how to get it into your imagination and have an explosion within the sanctified imagination that God's given you. We're going to teach you how God births directly from that promise. Remember, God does not birth from human agency, human sufficiency. He births by promise within human vessel. Amen. Now, another thing I like to do is get confessions. Inform them specifically around your vision, because these are what you're going to say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that indulge in it will eat the fruit thereof. Have your particular confessions. And I have a whole list of confessions at the end there. Listen to this, the foundation. Jesus, I thank you, you are brought as a lamb to the slaughter, standing dumb before the shearers, opening not your mouth in order for me to have the wisdom of God available in every circumstance and situation. I am forever perfected in wisdom through Christ. I am the wisdom of God in Christ. Listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. My mouth speaks wisdom, and the meditation of my heart is of understanding. Father, I thank you give unto me a mouth and wisdom which none of my adversaries are able to gainsay nor resist. You got to pour over those particular verses. I mean, pour over them, my friend. You got to speak that destiny. We're going to be talking to you more and more about that. Now, I have one other thing the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Very important. He said, get a picture that represents what you're asking for. And this is all creative. You can find different websites. I like to use iStockPhoto.com, and you can go there and get a picture for $1 or $2, but you can find something that when you see that picture, it reminds you of what's in that. And this particular picture, I'll actually show you a larger version, because one of the things it said over there in Deuteronomy, we talked about, put it on your doorpost and on your gate. Well, within this frame, I got a picture of Solomon here in one of the acts of wisdom when the two ladies came to him with a baby. And both of them said it was theirs. And Solomon, in his wisdom, said, well, just divide the baby then. Because he was really fishing out the true mother. And he found the true mother from that act of wisdom. Now, that picture represents what I'm asking for. Wisdom is building her house within me. Now, in this particular frame, I have actually framed my petition in this. I hang this on my walls. There's times people come into my office and they look at my pictures and they wonder where I got my, you know, creativity and art. I mean, like, they think it's a little strange, to be honest with you, but I didn't have them for decor purposes. I have it to remind me when I sit in my office. I want to know when I look at that, oh, Father, that's my request for wisdom. Yeah, I'm going to operate like that. Now that wisdom, I see it going in and going out. I have it all around my life. I have it also in my briefcase. I carry it with me every day. That picture stimulates your senses. You must have your senses stimulated for proper faith to operate. So get a picture. Get it together. Put it in your briefcase. Get it around you. If you want to put it in a frame, put it on your walls. I have three or four of these on a wall. I have one for the church, one for different things God said, one for generational inheritance, one for wisdom. Everything God said, I have a constitution for it. So get that in writing, my friend. In the next three or four sessions, we're going to teach you what to do with it. Amen. It's been my pleasure once again teaching you. God bless you.